Justin, Magoo of Timbaland and Magoo fame, dead. Correction to that last item. Some dude named Magoo dead.
Pussyfoot.com. I'm Matt Dillmore, along with
Matt Alsberg.
You're listening to Pussyfoot, and Matt, happy Halloween.
And you as well, sir.
It's October 2013.
Indeed.
We've got
it
a
is.
Lot of show in front of us. What's the kind of unifying thread, common theme, thrust of this month's show, Matty?
This month, in honor of Halloween mm-hmm. and sort of all the ghoulish delights, we are going to take our listeners deep into the forest.
Starting that trend,
yes,
will be Mr. Blake Everett, aka Blake at the Movies. This is his time of year. This guy's a big Halloween fan. And Maddie, he reviews two films. One's a capsule review.
Yes.
Doesn't necessarily have to do anything with Halloween. It's called
no.
Kill Your Darlings.
That's right.
But what's the big kind of boom movie DVD that he reviews this month?
The officially sanctioned Pussyfoot mm-hmm. review is Jugface.
Jugface. It's a yes. low budget horror thriller that takes place in the backwoods somewhere.
Yeah.
We've also got Eddie Rouse, Eddie's sage-like advice. This month, Maddie, it's a two-pack of questions.
Yes, it is.
And again, woodland.
Yes.
Implications.
This is people, not necessarily women,
mm-hmm.
who are missing the forest for the trees.
I like that. We've also got Misty Mayhem this month. It's an obit, appropriately ghoulish. It's a gentleman who knows his way around the Black Forest.
That's right.
Misty, of course, with a Halloween treat for us all. Our keynote guest this month, Matt, is one Mr. Russell Neswick.
Yes.
You might not know that name, listeners.
Not yet.
Not yet. We like to introduce you to artists that, while they are elderly, this gentleman's 84 years of age, are new discoveries.
That's right.
Russell, we travel to Lake Village, Indiana.
Correct.
About an hour and a half outside of the Chicagoland area. And Russell has built on three of his sprawling 240 acres in Indiana. He has devoted three of those acres to an under-the-sea concrete adventure.
Stands for reason.
That, yeah, I mean, of course. But it honestly is one of the more staggering displays of outsider do-it-yourself art that Pussyfoot has covered in its 5 years on the air. So, Russell Neswick, the keynote guest for October 2013. Before any of that, of course, it's music time, Maddie. It's a ghoulish playlist. What are we going to hear first? I'm kicking it off with Peter Wolf with Mars Needs Women. And then we're going to hear from you.
Yes, sir. The White Boots. Kind of hot.
Mm-hmm.
This is a track called Nightmare.
Gotcha. Peter Wolf, White Boots. We'll be right back with Mr. Blake Everett, Blake at the Movies, on the Halloween edition of Pussyfoot.
Hey, Space Cowboy, something strange here. We just got a message on the osculator. It's from out of space.
What does it mean?
It reads, Mars needs women.
What?
Oh no!
Mars fell into a terrible fate when they found they could not repopulate. So Martians came to Earth one day to try to take all the girls away.
look up at the stars, and I'm glad my baby's not trapped up on Mars.
Mars needs women.
No boy's worth the trouble that I'm in. My friends, they told me, they said I could win. They said, don't let her get away with it. But I never should have listened. You can beat him, you can win. Look out, you're staring at a wife of a friend. Get him, push him to the ground. Get him, push him. They're right, I thought, she did take my Bobby away. Putting me down, showing everybody his ring. Well, I thought I'd like to scare her a little. But I never meant to hurt her or anything. You can beat her, you can win. Look out, she's staring at a wife of a friend. Get her, push her to the ground. Get her, push her.
White, W-H-Y-T-E.
Yes.
White Boots, like Lil White.
Exactly, like Lil White.
With Nightmare. It's a scary playlist here in the month of October, 2013. Matt Dillmore, Matt Allsburg, you're listening to Pussyfoot. We have The Count up next. And when we say The Count, we're of course referring to...
Blake at the Movies.
Blake at the Movies, Count Gulstein.
Oh, yeah.
A character in his past from his pizza-delivering days in Virginia. So, without any further ado, let's cue up Hooray for Hollywood.
Hooray for Hollywood. That's groovy, ballyhooey Hollywood. Where any office boy or young mechanic can be a panic with just a good-looking pan. Where any barmaid can be a star mate if she dances with or without a tan. Hooray for Hollywood. When you're terrific if you're even good. Where everyone at all from TV Flassy to Monroe Stassi is equally understood. Go out and try your luck, you might be Donald Duck. Hooray for Hollywood!
I'm gonna say it, Matt. That's Hooray for Hollywood.
You always get to say it.
Yeah, but it's kind of a theme song. Can we amend it this month? We've got Blake Everett in the building. Can we call that Hooray for Halloween?
Ooh.
Now, Blake, this is your time of year.
Yes, it is.
For those who may be new to the show, what is it about the Halloween season that just has your Dracula cape
full of flutter?
Yeah.
Nothing compares to Halloween. Why? Because it's a fun holiday.
Yes.
It's just for fun. It's
Christmas is so fucking downer.
Well, it is a downer.
A bit.
Talk about that. Christmas is it's the most downing and depressing holiday there is. Suicides happen.
Boom.
You know, it's supposed to be a festival of happiness and seasons full of heart and love and joy.
Yeah.
And
there's
yet people are running around and pushing people out of the way and pulling hair. And a Walmart guy 2 years ago in New York had stomped to death and killed because people won't behave themselves.
Stomped at an all-time high.
Some crazy ass woman at Walmart up in Porter Ranch goes off and starts shooting something and scaring everybody and causing commotion. This is the season of love and happiness?
I'm not leaving the house.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Man. Christmas, you can have it.
All right. Oof. Now, before we get into our film, again, you go deep into the forest with an entity known as
Jugface.
Which is a new to DVD release.
Yes.
There's a capsule review that you'd like to give very briefly, and the title of this film, though it doesn't have anything to do necessarily with anything Halloween related, does have a very occult sounding name. It's called Kill Your Darlings. Describe. Yes.
Kill Your Darlings. It is a film. It's based on the story of Jack Kerouac, Allen Ginsberg, and Lucien Carr. And this is a part of their story that took place in the beginning of their relationships and their friendships that began with these men. They're young. They're in college. It's 1943. Lucien Carr commits a murder. It's got a great cast. You got Michael C. Hall.
How do you go from
Dexter?
There,
huh?
Nothing.
Dexter, he plays the guy who gets killed in the film. Because that's known right there.
A little twist.
Huh?
Can you hear me back? I said a little twist. He's usually killing people. Now he gets killed.
That is a little twist. You're right. You know what? That's cool. And he's in love with Lucien Carr, played by the magnificent Dane DeHaan. Daniel Radcliffe.
Yes.
He plays Allen Ginsberg in this. And Ben Foster, he plays William Burroughs.
Okay.
And it's just a magnificent cast.
Blake, this is a stellar cast. Do they congeal?
They do. They really do. Now, I heard some of the people in the audience talk about how Daniel Radcliffe really didn't fit the role of Allen Ginsberg. Because Allen Ginsberg has a raspy voice. And
he's an American.
And he's American. Daniel Radcliffe did a really good job with the voice. And his voice isn't raspy. But I like what Dane DeHaan said. He was there live in person.
Woo!
Doing a Q&A. And he said that the way the director explained it to him, because, that Allen Ginsberg had that raspy voice.
Yes.
But this is back when Allen Ginsberg was just barely a teenager.
Yes.
And he hadn't smoked 80 tons of cigarettes at that time to make his voice raspy.
So this movie is basically like Stand By Me of the beat set.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it.
Exactly, it is. It touches on homosexuality
just like Stand By Me.
Just because that is what these characters are led to be.
Using the Stand By Me parallels, Jack Kerouac.
Right.
Who is he in Stand By Me? What character?
I see him more as the Corey Feldman character.
Oh. Which one of these four guys from this movie is going to end up dead soon? In front of the Viper Room. Is it going to be Daniel Radcliffe?
Yeah.
No. God forbid it's Dane DeHaan. Who's it going to be?
I think it'll be Dane DeHaan.
Oh.
He's already flaming out?
I don't know. I mean, he looked good last night, but he doesn't look anything like he does on camera.
Yeah. Really?
In person, he looks totally different.
What's
he had glasses.
Vibe?
He didn't even comb his hair. His hair was all strange.
So he's probably on drugs.
And it looked like he'd just been taken right out of bed, and he didn't have time to put contacts in, so he wore his glasses and was just thrown into that. He looked totally
out of an opium den.
Disappointing for the fans, the hardcore fans?
Probably, but he was pleasant.
That goes a long way.
And listen here, I don't want anyone to get misunderstood that I don't like Dane DeHaan.
You love Dane DeHaan.
I love Dane DeHaan.
Again, that Wallace number is ready to be. Should we just say it again?
Yeah, absolutely.
Phone number for the Wallace Agency, Dane, if you want to reach out to Blake, is
818-953-484.
I'm mad.
Give us a call, buddy.
All righty.
Saw you last night. You were wonderful. I just wish we could have had a chance to communicate. We did stand next to each other in the hallway. He was walking out. I was trying to get to him, but they were pushing him through fast.
He's got handlers now. So, capsule review complete. What's the Pussyfoot score for Kill Your Darlings? Again, not necessarily having anything to do with Halloween, but there is a murder.
How many severed pussy feet?
Yeah.
How many severed pussy feet? Yes. I like that.
Yeah.
So my severed pussy foot score is 7.
Okay.
For Kill Your Darlings.
That's not bad.
Now, let's segue to our Halloween-themed film. It's very macabre. We go into the woods again. That's the kind of overarching theme for this entire show this month, Blake. You go deep into the woods to see Jugface. What's right. the deal with this film? And will history connote that this is the kind of coming out party for young Lauren Ashley Carter?
Alrighty. I don't know about any coming out party.
Oh, damn. Okay. What about more like a giving
the
party?
The premise of this film is that this is a community that lives in back deep in the woods. Mm-hmm. It's a very small community. It looks like there's maybe 20 people altogether. And
top to bottom, 20 people.
Top to bottom. There's a romance apparently going on at the beginning of the film that you see between a young couple, young mm-hmm. guy and a girl. And then 5 minutes later, you discover that the guy...
Wait, don't give it away. Don't give it away.
No, you can do it. Do it. Let's do it on this one. It's Halloween.
Yeah.
You discover what?
You discover it's her brother.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her brother is the one who's fucked her and got her pregnant.
Yeah.
And
scandalous.
Yeah.
And there's another character. His name is Dwight. He's glasses and beard. And he kind of looks like you, Matt Alsberg.
Thanks. Yeah.
And
Matinee.
But not as good looks. Looking. Yeah. Let me tell you, like, not as good looking. He looks scraggly. You're not scraggly. You're very classy.
Thank you. I went from scraggly to classy.
Anyhow, this guy gets the vision right. from the entity in the pit. There's a pit that they all sit around yes. and pray to.
Yeah.
And this pit provides like an image to this guy named Dwight. And he does a jug of the face that the pit gives him. And ever whose face he designs, that's the sacrifice that goes to the pit to get sacrificed to satisfy the entity in the pit. Now, we never see the entity. Right. We don't know what the entity is. It's just something that lives in a pit.
And this is not a spoiler because it's explicit on the back of the DVD box.
Right.
What's his ceramic work like? I mean, we're ostensibly a show about outsider art. What's the actual jug? What's he working with here?
Well, it looks like he's working with moonshine and jugs. It's okay. Clay and through that clay, it's like those old maple jugs or old moonshine jugs you would see in Vermont or in the hills in Kentucky or Tennessee.
Yeah,
like a triple X on the back of it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The title is...
And again, the title?
Jug Face. I think I would call it something else besides that.
Well?
Jug Face makes it seem
like... Throw some out there.
Well, come on, brother.
I know it's about a jug face that it's just...
Well, come on,
so
man.
What would you call it?
Come on.
Don't throw stones, you know what I mean? Unless
the pit demon or...
The pit demon.
The demon in the pit. Or,
okay, that's basically... Okay, all right.
Or how about, you know, the sacrificial jug?
Ooh. Sacrificial jug.
Should we just call it that for the rest of the review?
I think this is going there like shame, colon.
Yeah,
that is. Let's go with that. Okay, so who else is in the sacrificial jug? There's a gentleman by the name of Larry Fessenden, who's an actor and a producer.
Yes, he's in it. He was in Your Next, another one of those really glorious little pieces of crap films that never should have made it to the theater.
Okay.
We also have David Manchie from The Girl Next Door.
Sean Young's in there from Blade Runner.
Sean Young from Blade Runner.
And Stripes.
And Stripes, yep.
Well, Blake, it sounds to me like even though this film on paper had some potential and you're an unabashed fan of horror, it just didn't really come together for you in a really satisfactory way. What's the severed pussyfoot score for this month? It's Jughead. Sorry, the sacrificial jug.
I'm going to give this film 4 severed pussyfoot. That's it.
And again, which film?
The severed jug or the sacrificial jug.
All righty. Well, Blake, thank you. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Maddie, what are we going to hear?
This is Unrest with Rigor Mortis.
All righty, Blake. We will see you in the month of November, my friend.
All right. See you next month. We'll be right back.
Rich Ramirez died today of natural causes. Got amped up his speed and broke into house. A bunch of people to death, wrote shit on the skin and left him. They finally got him and he went to San Quentin. His last murderer was south of San Francisco, a guy named Peter Pan from the town of San Mateo. A little girl in the tenderloin was his first. In a laundry room, he took a dollar from her first. His last days were at the Bristol Hotel. I was reading Night Stalker when I went and rang the bell. The doorman buzzed me, said, "You're just like them all." Gave me a key and a black cat, led me down the hall. Had a flight today from Boston to Cleveland. Got a death in the family, gotta do some grieving. Lost a relative, and it's eating me up, and I make them real bad. And I need a little love. Rich Ramirez died today of natural causes. These things mark time and make us pause and think about we were kids scared of taps on the window. What's under the bed and what's under the pillow? And the Jim Jones massacre got in our heads. And the TV headlines, Elvis Presley's dead. And the Ayatollah Khomeini hostages. Ronald Reagan died from bullets. While I'm there, I'm gonna stroll through the old neighborhood. Rick stands my age and still lives with his mom. When he's not in jail for menacing, stalking, and riding bad checks, cocaine charges, marked and had such a beautiful smile. He always sat on his porch, passing the time and drinking a beer and smoking a pack until one day poor Mark had a heart attack. My friend Ben's got a good job as an electrician. His sister married the pool shark Jim Evans. And my next door neighbors whom I love so, and they love me too, but they passed long ago. And if you walk just a few blocks down Stall, there's a house that was the scariest of them all. A cute little pond with a sign for sale, but those Sexton's kids, life was hell. And I'm telling the truth, and if you don't believe it, pick up Lowell Caulfield's house of secrets. Had a fly from Cleveland to SFO. I got 3 months off until my next show. I was gonna spend time with my girl, make a record this summer. Fix my kitchen up and hire a plumber. The headline changed so rapidly. Today I came to the studio to work on something pretty. Then I saw the news on James Gandolfini while I was eating ramen and drinking green tea. The Sopranos guy died at 51. That's the same age as the guy who's coming to play drums. I don't like this. Getting older stuff, having to pee 50 times a day is bad enough. I got a nagging prostate and I got a bad back. And when I fuck too much, I feel like I'm gonna have a heart attack. I woke up today, I saw the headlines, an airline crashing, 2 people died. And I'm at a barbecue in Santa Fe, and everybody's drunk and feeling pretty well at 53. Richard Ramirez died, but in 83, he was very much alive. He was the scariest killer in the band. He had a pentagram in the center of a circle. Everybody remember the paranoia when he stalked the suburbs of Southern California. And everybody will remember where they were when they finally caught the Night Stalker. And I'll remember just where I was when Rich Ramirez died a natural cause.
you're listening to Pussyfoot. Maddie, I don't know what is scarier.
Okay.
The name Sun Kill Moon.
Yes.
Or the title of the track that we just heard from Sun Kill Moon, Richard Ramirez Died of Natural Causes.
Is that scary?
I mean, Richard Ramirez, he terrorized
peaceful.
California, man.
There's, you know how many Richard Ramirez's there are in California, man? There could be any Richard
Very
Ramirez.
Very good point. Very yeah. good point. I mean, he actually specifies in that song when he says, you know, he talks about James Gandolfini, he calls yes. him the Sopranos guy.
Yeah.
He never really qualifies who this Richard Ramirez is.
He doesn't say
is.
Like guy in an AC/DC hat.
True.
Or,
yeah. Very true. Very true. You're listening to Pussyfoot. Up next, Maddie, we have Mr. Eddie Rouse. It's Eddie's sage-like advice. People who can't see the forest for the trees. Let's just get right into it. Let's cue up those killer congas.
From the dawn of creation, men, women, children have come to the man with the drum.
Eddie Sage-like advice.
Once again, it's Eddie Rouse, Eddie's Sage-like advice, and Eddie, you've got a mouthful of candy corn, and that's
among
not an insult.
Things.
That's
it's better. What's you got a mouth of? So leave me alone.
Whoa! Now what's going on as a youngster, running the mean streets of Philadelphia? Any memorable costumes come to mind from Eddie Rouse Halloween past?
No,
at all.
Did you dress up?
Yeah.
You're Jehovah's Witness, weren't you, when you were young?
Hell no.
No, come on, Matt. Come
I used
on,
to come out, dude. I used to water on them.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Now, we've got two questions this month, Maddie, and the common theme, we've
that's
teased it
corn.
In the opener.
Yes.
The common theme is?
Eddie, these are people who are missing the forest for the
forest.
Trees.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should get the fuck out of the forest.
The deep, dark forest. And forest. As you can hear, listeners.
I mean, there you go. Advice done.
Listeners, candy corn is being
passed.
You
can't see the forest for the trees?
Question number one, Maddie, take
here we go. Eddie. Yes. I love my wife, but I'm hoping you can give me some advice from
an
outside
perspective. Well, you want me to love your wife? I love her.
She's and maybe save my marriage.
I'll save it.
My wife and I started dating 7 years ago after meeting at a school function. We are from Texas, and our interracial relationship
Mistake.
Was the talk of the campus. Beyond that, it took some time for my lily white parents to get used to the love of my life, but through it all, I have loved every inch of her.
I bet you did,
especially
that fat ass.
Recently, though, a new problem has arisen in our relationship. About a year and a half ago, after feeling like her tight 20s body was getting soft after we turned 30, she began hitting the gym. It started as a thing she did a couple times a week, and I loved how tight she got. The last 8 months, though, Eddie, she's become obsessed. It went from some time on the treadmill and a couple spinning classes to now full on blasting her muscles. She's been competing in bodybuilding competitions and, to my chagrin, is steadily moving up in weight classes as she keeps piling the muscle on.
Man, girl.
Frankly, our sex
Man.
Life isn't what it used to be.
I bet you that's a good
My
penis.
Friends rib me about being married to the buffest guy we know, and honestly, they're kind of right. I'm becoming less and less attracted to my wife, and it's manifesting in ugly arguments. Her hormones are through the roof, and she's gotten slightly scary during a couple moments.
Sounds like steroids to me.
Recently shattering a framed photo with her elbow in a peak of anger.
Damn.
My parents, who were once merely uncomfortable around her, are now so intimidated they can't even look her in the eye. Eddie, I lost my job a few months ago, and our competitions are bringing in good money, but I'm starting to feel like I'm the wife, both in and out of the house. I go to these competitions and I'm surrounded by women as big as the guys that used to block for me when I was the tailback on my high school football
Damn
team.
Damn, that bitch big!
Amid all of this, my wife has plans to start a family. I'm not sure
herself.
I'm trying to get any deeper. I'm feeling more like I need to get out of this.
Yeah, you do.
What would the sage do in my shoes? The heart is a muscle too. Terrence.
I would put a harness on that bitch and get them plowing some fields and grow some corn. That's what I would do.
Some candy corn?
Damn. Fields of candy corn as far as the eye can
First
see.
Of all,
Yo, Eddie, she don't do carbs, man.
Oh,
fuck
true.
Her. First of all, your wife's on steroids, dude. Get over it. You think she a man now? I was on that shit.
You were on that?
Yeah, steroids. I had to be because, you know, I had a problem with my... whatever.
Wait, now you've said on the show that gymnasts don't touch steroids because you got class.
No,
motherfucker,
dude,
I never said that.
Don't fucking put words in his mouth.
That's right, man.
His athletic career is his athletic career.
That
man.
Was way back when.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, sir.
I have to Bella Caroli you in an alleyway, Matt.
I don't know what to tell you. Hopefully this is a phase. Otherwise, get yourself a dress.
You're saying strap-ons next.
Next day she'll go in with a strap-on, but she might go from that. She might start getting hormone injections. That shit's addictive, man. I don't know what to tell you. This will be the first time in 5 years that I don't have a advice for you other than laugh like a motherfucker. I go out in that bitch. I'll get that bitch a dog house. All right, get that bitch a gorilla cage. I'm telling you, dude, the elbow to the picture frame. Gonna be an elbow to your throat, dude.
Yeah.
She gonna beat that ass. That was a warning.
Back your ass up, nigga. Forearm shiver.
Dude, tell your wife if she want dick, she's got to put down the weights. It's that simple. Otherwise, she can go up in the gym with them small dick, big motherfuckers, and get some of that baby dick. From the Arthur Schwarzenegger types, yes. I eat a rock types.
Yep.
You know what a rock looks like? Willie Strode. You ever see the man who shot Liberty Valance?
Yeah, of course.
He's a modern day Woody Updated. Strode, nigga. You heard me, Rock. He's a nigga fronting as a white man. I'm on. It's fucking Halloween. Now guess if I'm in my costume in my mind or I'm fucking real. Punk bitches.
Dude, your girl is
going to be fucking you. You're going to think you in the penitentiary. All right. Get you some jello pudding pops. You're going to need them. That's my advice to you. Duck, bitch. Get out. Run. Get the fuck up out of Texas. Bitch, probably listen to George Bush and suck. Mr. Cheney's balls.
What do you think about this?
What?
Something Matt and I discussed. This paragraph. Eddie, I lost my job a few months ago. Her competitions are bringing in good money.
Whose competitions?
The wife.
The bodybuilding
doing the bodybuilding thing. She's obviously winning some trophies.
Yeah. So.
Well, stop complaining, nigga.
Stop complaining.
Yeah, get you some porn. Take that extra money. Get you a fucking escort. And stop complaining, motherfucker.
Okay.
Listen.
How tough is the yoke going
to
be?
If you're having a problem being attracted to your wife and it really get deep and she out incoming your ass, here's my advice to you. We live in a time of male enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a time where you can drop a pill and your dick stay hard for 4 hours. You ain't got to even like that bitch. Just to keep her mouth shut and keep her from kicking your ass. Get you some male enhancement drugs, because if you turn it off by her, your dick, it overrides your conscience because your dick be active as a motherfucker.
So if she's juicing, then you can pop those pills.
Get you some male enhancement, shut your bitch mouth, and put on a dress.
Wow.
I feel for you, nigga. But like I said, you live in Texas. They growing big, don't they? I bet that bitch click got big as a dick, didn't it? Scared shit out your ass.
So that's your Halloween advice to
my Halloween advice is,
shut
motherfucker.
Shut your bitch mouth.
And motherfucker.
Get
if you don't want your ass beat, get you some male enhancement. Or put a harness on that fucking horse.
Wow.
And go to plowing.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Question number 2.
I feel for you, nigga.
Again, the theme is folks who cannot see the forest for the trees.
Yes. I bet you can see our big ass tree between our legs, can't you, nigga?
Ooh. It's a fucking redwood. All right.
Redneck wood.
Eddie, I will keep this as brief as possible I don't want to incriminate you, the Mats, or even myself in what's happening in my own life.
What the fuck we got to do with your fucked up life?
Well, we're going to find
out. We know this motherfucker?
No.
Yeah, fuck him.
In the vaguest of terms, my fiance is a muckraking journalist. Muckraking. She's exposing people and hypocrisy at the highest levels. To be quite honest here, there's a good chance you may know her name, as I feel like you two are a fellow crusader and an extremely well-read group of men. Note, it was my wife, in fact, that first turned me on to the show. We are fans. Here's my dilemma, Mr. Rouse. I am an aspiring writer. My debut novel is at the publishers currently and has been inching towards publication. Mm. I've been tweaking it based on feedback from my superiors, and their notes have actually been quite helpful. Mm-hmm. However, since I announced my engagement to this woman publicly, my release date has been pushed, tentative plans for a cross-country book tour and several talk show appearances halted, and their notes have gotten more scathing in recent weeks. Eddie, did I make a mistake announcing our plans to wed on social media and in a major metropolitan newspaper? My wife, always one to favor subtlety and decorum, pushed me to keep things on the, quote, DL, as the kids say. I, however, went out of my way to celebrate my future life with this woman and feel like I've made a mistake by shouting it from the rooftops. What do I do now? How can I move forward, not only getting my novel back on track, but also coexisting with a woman who seeks to tear down very powerful individuals? Thanks, Wosome Scribe.
You're feeling the heat from your wife's scathing investigations. And all I can say to you, man, if you in California, stay off Highland Avenue. between Melrose and Santa Monica.
Yep.
Boom. Because they got some kind of like vortex going on there, the United States government drone bullshit.
Cars get taken over.
Mysteriously.
You know, computer overrides. I don't know, kinda man. Like we live in a fucked up time.
You've heard of a Hastings situation?
Where
that was a Hastings situation.
The media, as John F. Kennedy said when he was a senator in 1957,
yes,
that we must have be very vigilant and demanding that we keep the media neutral, because we must expose our mistakes, because if we don't, it will create anarchy and destruction of our entire government and our society.
Preach.
So what I would do if I were you, man, stand the wind, because the wind is going to change. And, so,
but short term, Eddie.
Short term,
like,
dude.
What's this guy doing?
What's this guy doing? What's his recourse at this stage?
Because I mean, obviously, he ain't going to change the system.
How can you live with yourself? I'm not going to say nothing, man, because for me to say something, because this is in the public, too. If I give you some advice and all of a sudden, I ain't got nothing to say.
He said from the jump, he doesn't want to incriminate you.
Fifth estate. Huh?
He said from the start that he does not want to incriminate
you. Yeah, he's not trying.
He's not incriminating me. I'm saying to you, motherfucker, is this. If I give you a prescription, then who's ever reading your shit, whoever, you think they ain't listening to us? You're out of your fucking mind. So I'm not going to give you no advice. My best advice to you is think about it.
You're saying we don't have fans, Eddie?
Yeah.
No, I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about those other motherfucking fans that we have. That we all have as Americans. Because right now, they can track 1 billion. They ingest 1 billion signal intelligence messages daily out of the American public. There are only 350 million people. So there's a lot of overdrive going on here.
Do you think the wife has anything to do with the kibosh?
The what?
You know, it's like,
what are you talking about?
Like the wife is basically like,
I'm in the spotlight. Yeah, I'm in the spotlight. I'm great. I'm a muckraker. Oh, my husband?
Oh, now you want to be a writer?
No.
Trying to take my shine?
No, he's
okay. Okay.
He writes books. She writes truth.
Hey, I don't hear about her book tour.
People can only read so much in a day.
Y'all trying to start something.
What's his name? Woeful Scribe.
Hey, Woeful Scribe. These two motherfuckers, man.
Eddie, we all know your attention span. I mean, it's mouse-like. I mean, how much could you read?
See, they fucking with me now.
How much can you read in a day? That's what Matt's saying.
How much can I read in a day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
So, like, if you got the choice between, like, 20 articles written by this woman and this dude's book, you're like,
you dudes are trying to do the book. These some drama-seeking motherfuckers, man.
I mean, you're on the shitter, right?
Yeah.
What do you got? You got, like, what, a 10-minute
You're going to record telling me, you tell me, I'm not prescribing this bullshit they talking about.
All right. Well, that candy corn bag is almost empty,
Maddie. She would have fucked up my head.
And we've got a positive thrust to get through. So, Eddie, you have the floor.
You know, food is the greatest weapon. Water is the source. Both are now owned and controlled by a company that begins with a little M with a big ass ego. And I'm saying to you, every human being on this planet, it is time to go back and understand that naturalism is the only way. We will never in this lifetime or any lifetime thereof think or become God. And we are foolish to continue down the trek that we are on, because it is suicidal. But then here's a thought for you. Since we come from the earth, and the earth spawned us, maybe it is a natural progression that we are going to be the ones who create the earth to get rid of us. There's singular dying, one-on-one. Death is a natural process of life, and it's regenerative. So, like, there's a mass extinction. We call it mass extinction of dinosaurs. Every living organism on this planet has suffered extinction on the mass level. The humans are next. Maybe we're supposed to destroy this planet, because that's the way the earth is planned us to be. We will go back. And that which does not come out the ground with the intermediary called man and his bullshit is bullshit. Burn me, kill me, I don't give a fuck. Because everybody dies, everything goes, y'all. Whoever is behind this fucking madness of oppression of the entire fucking planet, may God burn your ass in hell, you sick fuck. To the rest of the planet, I bid you peace, because what goes in your mouth comes out your ass. And if you really eat pure, it don't smell as bad. It's just like what goes in your fucking head. All right, comes out your mouth.
Eddie, we thank you, as always. A very spirited, no pun intended, here on the Halloween show. Eddie's sage-like advice and positive thrust on the way out. Very haunted. Haunting. The October occult playlist rolls on, Maddie. This is Psycho from Eddie Nowak. Eddie knows people that have no act, but this is Eddie Nowak. Right? Am I right?
Did he say that?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll be right back. More Pussyfoot right after this.
Can Mary fry some fish, Mama? I'm as hungry as can be. Oh, Lordy, how I wish, Mama, you could keep the baby quiet, 'cause my head's killing me. I seen my ex last night, Mama, at a dance at Miller's store. She was with that Jackie White, Mama. I killed them both, and they're buried under Jenkins' sycamore. Don't you think I'm psycho, Mama? You can pour me a cup. If you think I'm psycho, Mama, better let them lock me up. Don't hand the dog to me, Mama. I might squeeze him too tight. And I'm as nervous as can be, Mama. But let me tell you about last night. I woke up in Johnny's room, Mama, standing right by his bed, with my hands near his throat, Mama, wishing both of us was dead. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Mama? I just killed Johnny's pup. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Mama? You better let him lock me up. You know the little girl next door, Mama? I think her name is Betty Clark. Oh, don't tell me that she's dead, Mama. Why, I just seen her in the park. She was sitting on a bench, Mama, thinking up a game to play. Seems I was holding a wrench, Mama, then my mind walked away. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Mama? Didn't mean to break your cup. You think I'm psycho, don't you, Mama? Mama, Mama, why don't you get up? Say something to me, Mama. Mama, why don't you get up?
Kill your friends, light your feet, do what I want. Love, cry, kiss your
kill your friends, light your feet, do what I want. Lovecraft, taste your lips, take your time, do what I want.
Matty Alsberg pick you're listening
Indeed
to,
it
gang.
Is.
That's the Vaseline's with yes. Lovecraft.
Exactly.
And I'm assuming you're considering that scary because of the movie The Craft.
No.
Oh, H.P. Lovecraft?
No. Also not that. Just, you know, love is scary, man.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
A lot of like Halloween Cupids.
Yeah, yeah.
I get my holidays confused sometimes.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of crossover between the Valentine's Day show and Halloween
yes.
show.
Before a lot of massacring.
Yeah. Before that, it was Eddie Nowak with Psycho. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Obviously.
Come on.
Right on the nose.
It's Pussyfoot for the month of October here in 2013. We've come to the point in our show, Matty, where
yes.
we intro our keynote guest.
Very special guest.
This gentleman, we cover a lot of ground in the interview.
Literally.
We travel to Lake Village, Indiana.
Yes.
And I gotta say, this guy, when you talk about twilight years, your golden years,
yeah.
not many people pick up Faro cement.
Yeah.
And start building crazy under-the-sea life in the middle of their backyard.
No, I mean, that's...
It's just... It's really incredible.
It's a rare calling.
It is.
Yes.
Russell Neswick, it's the keynote guest for the month of October 2013.
Matt Dillmore here in the lovely town of Lake Village, Indiana, with the legendary Mr. Russell Neswick. Russell, how are you? And thank you for being on the show.
I'm fine, thank you.
Happy Halloween. This is October, the month of Halloween. Before we get in and we talk about your amazing artwork, can you reflect, growing up, did you dress up? Did you do anything crazy for Halloween? Any crazy Halloween costumes in your past?
No, not really, no.
None at all?
Never, no. I'm sort of the nerd. I was very good at school forever. Basically, everything I did was right.
By the book.
Of course.
Now, you mentioned you were a very good student, but you have this previous life as basically a man of the law.
That is correct. I used to be a lawyer, and I'm a good one, but my heart was never in it.
So the whole time you're practicing law, are you thinking about other things? Are you thinking about artistic endeavors?
I was thinking of being, and I'm talking about in the 50s, 60s, I was going to be a big business entrepreneur making millions of dollars, which unfortunately I had, if I had one business, I had 50. All failures. So I didn't make, I'm not a millionaire as we speak it today.
When did your fascination with under the sea life begin?
Well, I became a, this is funny, a sculptor in 15, 20 years ago. And I read an article in Mother Earth or whatever that, you know, like you blend this with that and you create things out of concrete. And I proceeded to do that on an experimental basis. And then all of a sudden, I became a sculptor.
I first came to know your work through your book, and we'll get to that in a minute. But one of the amazing kind of self-effacing vocabulary words you have in there, you say that you developed dementia concretia?
Very well put. I'm amazed.
What is it? Describe that.
Well, concrete has been around for at least 2,000 years. Rome was noted for concrete. And concrete is strong and firm and rigid. And believe it or not, you can build almost anything out of concrete. And now I know that.
Pharaoh, tell me what's the difference between, say, Pharaoh cement and the kind of concrete that we might see when we walk down the street?
Oh, well, Pharaoh concrete is a combination of iron or metal melded with concrete. Concrete in the street has no metal in there, but metal gives us its firmness.
Gotcha. And there's also a coined, a Neswick coined term in the book. You've also developed sea mania. What is sea mania?
Once you start creating this crazy stuff, you get carried away and you want to do more of this nonsense.
Did it consume your thoughts, the idea of putting all of this under the sea life on your property here in Lake Village?
Absolutely, because I, as we speak it today, I have at least 3 acres, surface acres, covered in concrete. And I'm talking about fish, any kind of...
Whales.
And whales, yes.
Are you proud of the fact that you are a self-taught sculptor?
Damn right I am, because I only taught myself.
True, true. When you started to do all of this, you're cobbling everything together, what did your family and what did your friends think? Especially because you're doing this when you're retired. You're doing this after 65 years of age, which is amazing.
I don't think they thought much of it, unfortunately. But I may be wrong, but no, I don't think so.
But were they supportive of you?
Well, not non-supportive.
Right, right. So they were just kind of like, yo, he's off doing his thing. It's all good.
And that's it. I mean, I was the only one out there with the concrete. Mm-hmm. And I, every week, there was at least 500 pounds of concrete that I spent on the reef, at least.
And I hopefully people are connecting the dots here at home. Concrete, it's incredibly heavy, isn't it? Labor intensive.
Concrete, unfortunately, now that I am 84 or 5, I forgot. But anyway, I can't pick up the. I used to get 60 pound bags of concrete. I'd get at least 400 or 500 pounds a week. Now I cannot handle it, so I can't do it. So I don't know whether there's. I don't think they're supportive of me at all.
For those who are on our website now and they're looking at the PDF of some photos that I took of your amazing work, for me, there's two pieces, two large scale pieces that really stick out, and I want you to walk me through how you made them. The first is what is the cover of your book. It's a giant. It's not a sea creature, but it's a pretty amazing piece of work. Take me through how you made your elephant.
Basically, the legs were out of tree stumps. The rest of the body out of used lumber, wrapped with carpeting. Then with 3/4 inch metal, and then 1/2 inch concrete.
That there's tusks. What are the tusks made out of?
The tusks are lumber. I mean, lumber. Yeah.
Sharpened lumber.
Of course, yes.
And then, if you go around and look at the elephant from the back, what might you see?
I didn't finish that. It's just an empty big hole.
Mm-hmm. Strategically placed.
Of course.
There's also one thing that's really nice, and I really appreciate this because it's I learned, in addition to just taking in the artwork, I learned something from you. What's dangling from a tree branch there?
Oh, it's sort of a Japanese symbol. It's a big rock, danger. So in other words, don't come close to this elephant because he might charge.
That's good advice.
Absolutely.
You know what happened to me one time? God's honest truth.
No.
I was maybe a year and a half or 2 years of age. I was in Florida. I was at Busch Gardens. Do you know Busch Gardens?
I love it. I've been there 2 or 3 times. Love it.
They had this exhibit called The Dark Continent, and it was all about Africa.
Yes.
I took an elephant ride, and I got scared, and I jumped off the elephant. I swear on my life.
Oh, but I've been on an elephant, too.
How did you like the experience?
Well, thank God he didn't charge.
Yeah. The other really great piece that's huge that we took pictures of, and again, we encourage listeners to go onto the site and take a peek, the whale. Talk to me about this whale because it's huge. What's inside? What makes up the body of the whale? This is amazing.
My orca is 36 feet long, 8 feet wide, 8 feet tall with the top dorsal fin. Basically, the inside was my old Honda automobile.
Wow. You, not to say you're cheap, but you like to be thrifty.
Are you kidding? I get everything at the goddamn free market. The free market, yeah. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, of course.
And there's no shame in that.
I think not.
Talk to me a little bit, because you've actually included it. I think it's a really important part of your work. What is Garbage Island? Because it's a very real thing.
Oh, that's, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly, a gyre. Mm-hmm. G-Y-R-E, gyre or gear in the Pacific Ocean. There's an area that encompasses maybe 10,000 miles of garbage the plastic and everything that floats from America, Asia, Africa, and then the currents bring it to this area, and it's terrible. It really, I'm a conservationist. Thank you. I needed that.
Gesundheit. Why did you choose to incorporate that the garbage island element into your work here in Lake Village?
Because my ocean, which encompasses basically 3 or 4 acres of surface area, I have everything in there. I have everything from a polyp to a whatever that lives in the ocean, the web of life. And I fervently believe in that. God damn it, I believe in that. And people are destroying our environment because they are, should I say this, assholes?
Sure, sure.
Well, that's wrong, but nonetheless, that's the way I feel.
Right.
Because I love nature, and I would like it to be like it is, or even better.
One of the more interesting, smaller pieces that I saw out there was a collection of octopi. Can you tell me about the fun you had creating those guys in particular?
Oh, God. There's nothing. Everybody should have an octopus. If not an octopus, well, I don't want to say that. Mm-hmm. But
I know where you were going.
But I have a Dumbo octopus that lives, you know, like about 600 feet under the ground. And I have another octopus that spews out, rather than ink, they vessels, you know, where the sparks, scare them away. And then you have octopi that actually will, if you're, you know, 60,000 feet under the sea, they will, they're so big, they're so gigantic, they will get your submarine and smash it to smithereens.
Like Jules Verne.
That's it.
Where do you get most of your inspiration from? Do you rely nowadays on a resource like the internet, or do you still stay kind of, for lack of a better term, analog and go back to books and journals?
Well, when I started 15, 20 years ago, more or less, I would go to the libraries, get a book on oceanography or ocean creatures, and copy it. But then, like maybe 10 years ago, comes the internet, and every sea creature in the world is there. So, yeah, for the internet, incomparable.
It's a great tool, huh?
Oh, and that too.
Do you go to many aquariums to get a chance? I mean, I don't even know in the Chicagoland area or around here in the Midwest at all.
Oh, yeah. But I've been to the Atlantic Aquarium 2 times, and that's wondrous. I mean, oh, my God. Love it. And I love people that deal with creatures of the sea, critters. Yeah.
We mentioned your book, and yes, again, it's called Anyone, a Sculptor. But here's the catch.
Okay.
Anyone, ! A sculptor, ! Can you tell me about that? Why anyone, ? Let's deal with that first.
Okay, you can give me anybody in the world. In 30 days, I will make them a sculptor.
You're taking that as a personal challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, even you can be a sculptor.
Wow, come on.
Come on now. Yes, you can be.
Look at these hands. These are dishpan hands.
I know that.
Okay.
But I'll make you a sculptor. I really can.
And then, okay, so let's deal a sculptor, ! You're excited about the work that you do as a sculptor, aren't you?
Damn right I am. I'm the best, or used to be the best.
Well, Let me read this biographical sketch, okay? And this is I will say this is you, I feel like you've thrown the gauntlet down. Okay.
I have.
The final sentence in this biographical sketch is, I laughingly allude to myself as the greatest unrecognized, self-proclaimed pharaoh concrete sculptor in the world.
That is the truth. That is the truth.
Still undefeated?
Absolutely. Unequivocal.
Where can folks find this book if they want to seek it out? Because I'm lucky enough that this text came into my life.
Oh, I'm sure at Amazon. Yeah, it used to be. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
What about the folks at the Intuit Art Center in Chicago? That's where I got my copy.
Oh, of course. Well, they can get it from me. Yes, and that too, yes.
With respect to your legacy, I know that you have a real deep love and affinity for this property here in Lake Village, and you've been here for close to 40 years now.
Correct.
Would you like to be interned here?
Oh, I'm going to be ashed here. Oh, definitely. Of course.
Why is that important to you?
Because I just love it so.
I think maybe in closing, if there's this maybe sounds like a very general question, but if there's a bit of advice that you want to give to somebody that might be listening that either is A, really interested in sea life, has maybe the early warning signs of sea mania.
Okay.
Or
yeah.
Somebody who is an aspiring ceramicist or sculptor or just artist in general, what would your advice be for those types of people?
Go for it. God damn it, go for it.
Thank you so much, Mr. Neswick. I don't want to put you on the spot, but what we do is we always have our guests toss to a song, any song in the world, and we'll play it. We'll find it. We'll track it down. Do you have a favorite song or just a song that you want to toss to, have the listeners listen to?
Oh, Savannah. Oh, Savannah.
Oh, Savannah or Oh, yeah. Susanna?
Oh, Susanna. Yeah.
Oh, Susanna.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect. Yeah. So, Oh, Susanna, we're signing off with Russell Neswick here in Lake Village, Indiana. Thank you so much, Russell.
Thank you. It was a blast.
I came from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I'm going to Louisiana, my true love for the sea. It rained all night the day I left, the weather it was dry. The sun's so hot I froze to death, Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I jumped aboard the telegraph and traveled down the river. The electric fluid magnified and killed 500 nigger. The bull giant bust, the horse run off, I really thought I'd die. I shut my eyes to hold my breath, Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I had a dream the other night when everything was still. I thought I saw Susanna coming down the hill. The buckwheat cake was in her mouth, the tear was in her eye. Says I, I'm coming from the south, Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. I soon will be in New Orleans, and then I'll look around. And when I find Susanna, I will fall upon the ground. And if I do not find her, this doc will surely die. And when I'm dead and buried, Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me. I've come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. Thank you.
dance all the time. About a girl that ain't so fine. Dreaming of this girl's world. Knocks me on the head at first. Then she splits my mind in two. She kicks my lips and pieces too. I hear her birds, my ears do ring. Like a shingle with some spanks. I feel the weight of thousands of stones. Really sticks and breaks my bones. Up so very high. She is too strong, I don't deny. She let me go right to the block. Then I wake up with a shock.
Again, a Matty Allsburg pick.
Yes, indeed.
Name of the track?
Nightmares by Q65.
Q65 with Nightmares. Before that, of course, a Russell Neswick pick. That was Oh Susanna.
Yes.
Not necessarily scary.
No.
But I like it. I like when Russell mixes it up like that. We are going to transition, Maddie, to Misty Mayhem.
Yes.
The obit this month affects trick-or-treaters.
Yes.
It affects people who are fans of obits, because if somebody great doesn't die in the scariest month of the year, then they get bummed.
Yep.
There might be suicides that result.
People with diabetes.
People with diabetes, yeah. So, I mean, the reverberation that Misty causes when she chooses or declines an obit, she has a lot of power in those hands,
exactly.
Those truck-driving hands. She calls in from the road. Here's the obit for the month of October 2013, Misty Mayhem.
Greetings. Misty Mayhem here. In this scary month of October, I'd like to go deep into the Black Forest to share with you about a German candy guy who sadly died. Bye-bye. Auf Wiedersehen. Hans Riegel, the dude who made the rainbow-colored fruit-flavored teddy bear-shaped gelatin sweets known as gummy bears, a global favorite, has died in Bonn. He was 90. In doing so, Mr. Riegel has bummed out many potential trick-or-treaters this Halloween season. The cause of death? Heart failure. According to Haribo, the company he led for nearly 7 decades. Hans had surgery to remove a tumor in his brain several months ago. Always one to look on the bright side, said tumor inspired both Haribo and Mr. Riegel to develop a new flavored gummy, Banan Lemon Lime. Mmm. Baron Von Gummy transformed his family-owned company from a local candy maker with 30 workers into an internationally recognized brand with 6,000 employees around the world and annual sales of $2 to $2.7 billion. Mr. Regal's father, also named Hans Regal, founded Haribo in 1920. The name is an acronym derived from his first and last name and the city where it was registered, Bonn. The elder Mr. Regal concocted the first bear-shaped sweets initially out of ham. When this approach proved to be outright disgusting, he then moved on to licorice before settling on gelatin. After their father was killed in 1945, during World War II, Mr. Regal and his younger brother Paul set about rebuilding the business. Paul was responsible for production, while Hans oversaw sales and marketing. The brothers introduced the sweets they called Gold Bears, known to most of the world as Gummy Bears, in the 1960s. The Little Bears, which come in five colors and flavors, proved immensely popular with Germans. And Mr. Regal soon expanded abroad. After successfully introducing them in Britain, Sweden, and Austria in the 1970s, he took them to the United States in 1982. The perfect spot for setting up Haribo's U.S. headquarters? You guessed it.
Baltimore.
The Gummy Bros also expanded their assortment, which now includes 200 different products. Although none have proved as popular as the Gummy Bears, a 2012 poll revealed the worst candy currently on the Haribo roster to be none other than Kimmy Chews. Bite-sized gummy treats that taste like kids' favorite harmful hazardous chemicals, like boron trichloride, perchloric acid, and phosphine. Note to whomever's running Haribo now, stick to bears in wax bottles. In 1987, Mr. Regal set up Hans Regal Foundation, which awards annual scholarships to students at 12 German universities, including his alma mater, the University of Bonn, where he completed a doctorate in economics in 1951. Students must write an essay tackling the topics of what it means to be gummy. Fletcher's informant buddy down in Venice Beach, however, is not eligible to participate. Snitch. Furthermore, every October, the company said on its website, Mr. Regal honored a tradition established by his father in 1936, in which children are rounded up by secret gummy police and herded onto trains bound for Haribo's German headquarters. The children are first told that they are on this special trip to trade chestnuts and acorns they have collected for sweets. In reality, they're being lured to the huge industrial ovens to get first-hand look at where gummy goodies they so deeply crave are made. Yay! Hans Regal, Candyman. Hey, I'm not falling for that man, man. Up next on the Occult October playlist, here's Wolf Moon with their 1973 Halloween hit, God Bless. Misty Mayhem out.
I was passing by the bedroom door when I heard little Johnny pray. It brought a smile to my lips and tears to my eyes when I heard him say, God bless the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, the Good Tooth Fairy and Deputy Dog, Yogi
but Tweety Pie and Mother Goose. And if that's not too many, bless my mommy and my daddy too. He prays a universal prayer, written by little boys and girls. For this is the way that they all pray throughout the whole wide world. God bless the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, the Good Tooth Fairy, and Deputy Dog, Yogi Bear, and Donald Duck, Huckleberry Hound, and Elmer Fudd, Tweety Pie, and Mother Goose. And if that's not too many, bless my mommy and daddy too. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we all felt this way? We could live in peace and in harmony and make the world a better place to stay. And all we'd have to worry about would be the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, the Good Tooth Fairy, and Deputy Dog, Yogi Bear, and Donald Duck, Huckleberry Hound, and Elmer Fudd. This is the way they pray, all the little kids today. I'm talking about the little bitty boy and the little girl.
Successful Pussyfoot, yet another successful Pussyfoot.
Once again.
That's Pete Drake, no relation to, of course, Nick Drake.
Or just Drake.
Or Drizzy Drake, yeah. With The Spook, Before that, Wolf Moon with God Bless. We want to shout out kind of like an unofficial member of Wolf Moon on that one. Do you know who?
No.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Swamp Dog.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I believe he acted as producer on that track. Anyway, it's been a great show, Maddie. It's been a very scary show. We want to thank everybody involved. Of course, Boaz Philharmonic. Yes. Very scary. Dave Berger.
Yes.
With that cold intro. Very cold. Chilling intro.
Horrific. Spine chilling.
Blake, Eddie, Misty. Of course, Russell Neswick. If you have any questions about Russell's work, you want to get his book. Again, it's called Anyone? A Sculptor? Exclamation point. Just hit us up here on the Pussyfoot website. Make sure you check out the PDF. If you haven't had a chance, I said it in the interview, please go to the site.
Thumb through it.
Download the PDF. It's worth your time. To say goodbye, Maddie, what are we going to hear?
I'm going to go with a band called Super K.
Mm-hmm.
It's a track called Recurring Nightmare.
Wow. So you had White Boots Nightmare, Q65 Nightmares, and now you've got Recurring Nightmare from Super K.
Yes.
I like what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's a trifecta. I'm going to say bye-bye with Fang, and this is Diary of a Mad Werewolf, and it's W-E-R-R-E-W-O-U-L-F.
Okay.
It's a little alternate spelling.
Yeah.
But the same pronunciation.
No. It's a homonym.
Yes.
Homophone.
We will see you guys in the month of November. Thanks for listening. Pussyfoot. Me apart. The cry.
scary, cuts down to the bone. Ring of friends is choking me, it's metal, cold and naked. 10 black seconds lasts a lifetime, feeling so alone. And we must escape this drama, must escape. I've seen it all before, recurring nightmare. Breaking their old spirits with their lives so pale and narrow. Sullen brow and brooding like some goddamn missing link. Lousy all-consuming burns a flowering inferno. Camouflaging sorrows, scarcely no time left to think. And we must escape this drama, must escape. And I've seen it all before. Solemn tears, and we must escape this drama.